Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue our study of Romans. We are in chapter 15. We're talking about the Christian and his giving, as it is discussed by the Apostle Paul in verses 22 through 28. Previously, we have examined the question of the purposes of our giving. What should our giving support as we give to the Lord in our tithes and offerings? And the answer to that in this passage is threefold. Number one, it is given to the support of full-time gospel workers, verse 24. Number two, it is given to finance the expenses of gospel outreach beyond the living expenses of the worker, also verse 24. And number three, it is given to relieve the afflictions of fellow believers who are in need. And that's in verses 25, 26, and even verse 27. Now, secondly, we take up the question of motive. What motivates our giving as Christians? Why do we give? Not to what do we give, but why do we give? And this is really even more important. And perhaps I should have taken it up first, but the other questions seem to come first in my examination of the text, and so I addressed it first. But our motive for giving is even more important than the objects of our giving. We need to understand what we are giving to. I started to say on one of the broadcasts a day or two ago that since we can't give our money directly up to heaven, to God, we have to give it to men in some way or some form. It is therefore important that we understand the biblical purposes for which it is given. When we give it to the church, what do we think the church should be doing with it? And is the church using it for biblical purposes? When we give it to a missions organization, what purposes are being fostered, being advanced by are giving that money? And sometimes people just don't want to know. They don't want to investigate. They don't want to ask questions like this. It's kind of like, well, I gave. That's my responsibility. It's out of my hands. I don't want to bother myself with the details. That's not very good stewardship. That's not wisdom. And it's because of thinking like that that some organizations are able to take in enormous sums of money and use very little of it for legitimate purposes. Sometimes organizations, Christian organizations, will use 80-90%, excuse me, I think I'm going to sneeze here in a minute, will use 80-90% of the money they take in for administrative purposes, basically just for the purpose of fundraising. And of only a very small percentage actually goes to the purpose, the gospel purpose, the benevolence purpose that they're raising it for. It costs a lot of money to raise money in certain ways. If you're doing it by television or radio commercials and direct mail appeals, that's expensive. And I'm actually a bit skeptical about those kinds of organizations and that way of raising money. I'd rather keep it closer to home. I'd rather keep it at a level that I can investigate. Pretty hard to investigate an organization that is running a television commercial or sending out mass mailings. You wonder sometimes, where do these people get my name? I've never contributed to them before. How did they get my name? Well, it's obvious that somebody else I contributed to sold my name to them. Worldly business practices being used to finance the work of God. I'm not happy about that. But that's another subject for another day. But I insist that if we will keep our giving closer to home, if we will direct our giving through our local church and expect that our church gives careful financial accountability in the way of financial reports, detailed financial reports that tell where the money is going and how it is being spent, you can eliminate a lot of these problems. But even more important than what purposes should our giving support is the question, what motives prompt our giving? And I'm very concerned that Christians do not make their giving always needs-based. I'm going to give here because I think that's where the biggest need is. Because, of course, what that does, among other things, what that does is encourage people who are trying to raise money for Christian causes to create the biggest emotional pull, the biggest emotional tug, the biggest emotional need. They're going to now organize their appeals on the basis of need if they know that people are giving in response to that. Where I feel the biggest tug, where I think there's the biggest need, that's where I'm going to give. So, of course, those who can convince you of the greatest need are going to be the most successful at fundraising. Is that the way you want it to go? Is that the way you think it should go? I don't think our giving should be based primarily upon need. I'm a little concerned when I'm in a meeting where every time an offering is taken, there is a rather lengthy explanation of the tremendous need. Please give to meet this need. Sometimes that's appropriate, but most of the time I think it shouldn't even be mentioned. This is just part of our worship. We give to God. Yes, there are needs, and as good stewards, we're going to examine when we're going to expect accountability and examine the financial reports that we receive to make sure that our giving is going to legitimate biblical needs. But this idea of trying to appeal to people and to pull money out of them, to talk them into giving more than they were planning to give, to tug at their heartstrings, to try to make financial appeals. I don't think that's what I find in the Bible. I think we should come to church to worship God. We worship Him by giving Him our praise. We worship Him by giving Him our prayers. We worship Him by giving Him our ears, our minds to hear His word. We worship Him by giving Him our substance. It's all part of our worship to God. And we shouldn't be responding on the basis of need. We ought to be responding out of gratitude to God. It's an act of worship. And so that brings me then. What motives prompt our giving? Well, what are some of the wrong motives? What are some of the reasons that people give that they ought not to give? Number one, to obligate God. Some people give because they have the sense that when I give to God, I'm obligating Him to do something for me in return. Sometimes preachers present it that way. When you give to God, you're obligating God to give you more back in return. Well, if you're giving to God to obligate God, you're giving for the wrong reason. What else is a wrong motive? Number two, to impress men. I don't need to tell you that sometimes people give for the purpose of impressing others. The Bible teaches us not to do that. When Jesus said that when we give, our left hand should not know what our right hand is doing, obviously that's a metaphor, that's an illustration, that's not to be taken literally. It's impossible, actually, for you to do that. You're one person. You have a mind. Your right hand and your left hand are all attached to the same body and all governed by the same mind. So, literally, it's impossible to follow that command. But the truth that it illustrates is very clear. You're supposed to do it in a quiet, inobtrusive way rather than in a way that calls attention to itself. And Christ makes that clear when He explains that don't do it like the hypocrites who sound the trumpet in the street and call attention to what they're doing. Want everybody to know their largesse, their giving. When you see the kind of giving that's often is applauded in the newspaper with big articles, so-and-so gave X number of dollars to this university or to this charity. When you see pictures in the paper of somebody who's giving a big check and they've actually made up a big check that'll show up on camera. It's not the real check. Everybody knows that. The real check is the small one, but they've made up a large facsimile check so that it'll look good in the photograph. What's the purpose for that? To impress men with our giving. And if that's the reason why you give in order to be applauded by men, then that's the wrong motive and you will get no reward in heaven. That's what Jesus said. When you give that way, you've already gotten the reward that you wanted upon earth. Therefore, you get no reward in heaven. I get a little nervous when sometimes members of my church want to tell me what they gave and how much they gave. Now, sometimes I recognize this is immaturity and we'll let it go this time. But if that keeps up, I have to say something to them. I say, dear sir, dear lady, you are robbing yourself of your reward in heaven by telling me how much you gave. Don't tell me. Just do it quietly as to the Lord. I don't want to know that you put $100 in the offering plate last week. I don't want to know that. And I don't want you to give out of the motive of impressing me with what you gave and telling me what you gave. That's wrong. So it's a wrong motive to give in order to try to obligate God. It's a wrong motive to give in order to try to impress men. It's a wrong motive to give to gain influence in the church. And sometimes those that God has blessed with more than average finances will do this. Sometimes I think it's a subtle thing. They don't even at first perhaps realize this is what they're doing. But sometimes businessmen and others who are wealthy will calculate their giving in such a way that they are expecting enlarged influence in the governing affairs of the church as a result of their larger than average giving. Rather than just giving quietly, silently, dropping in the offering plate like everybody else, giving larger amounts because God has given them more. You ought to give more if God has blessed you with more. To whom much is given, much shall be required. But why don't you just drop it in like everybody else and be done with it instead of going to the preacher, going to the leaders of the church, talking to them about special projects that you want to fund so it becomes clear that you are giving and they know you are giving, and so that you can gain extra influence in the church because I gave the organ, I gave the piano, I financed this, I did that. What would this church do without me? Sometimes God will arrange things so that the church can find out what they will do without you if they become too dependent upon this and you have finessed your giving for that very purpose. That's wrong. Governmental influence in the church should not be based upon levels of giving. The people who serve in places of leadership in the church should not be chosen because of the amount which they give. There are spiritual considerations which ought to be the only considerations. Now, if it happens that a wealthy person who gives generously also happens to be spiritually qualified, well and good. But he's not very well spiritually qualified if his giving is a matter of public knowledge. And everybody is thinking about how much he gives when he is placed in that position of leadership. That's wrong. That should not be one of the motives for our giving in order to be able to gain larger influence in the church. Well, we'll take these things up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.